Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
And today that is a true statement. Mike Malevsky here, and it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio for this edition of Inside the School District, Jillian Morrissey. And I have the great pleasure of interviewing her. Welcome, Jillian.
Oh, good morning.
Okay. So we have a number of topics that we can address, but I know there's one that you mentioned before we began that deals with education and money and taxes and the rest of that. So describe what I'm attempting to describe.
Yeah, so this is exciting. I mean, this has nothing to do with school taxes or creating new taxes. This is actually an education tax credit program for corporations. And it's something I'm learning about. And it's something that the school district is interested in letting folks know out there that this is it's a tax credit program available to corporations that pay particular kinds of taxes, and it's a way for them to support schools and students and the school district through in-kind donations, but also through monetary donations. And so this is something, they have to be an Alaska-based corporation. And it's usually folks that, you know, when we're looking at those lists, it's folks from, it's your mining, your fishery, your oil and gas, people who pay insurance taxes. But these corporations have the opportunity to look at, it's the end of the year, this is a giving time of year. Most people are thinking about ways that they can support different organizations that they care about. And so the school district has a way to do that for these organizations. So let me just share a little bit, and this is something I'm learning. So
I'll ask questions when.
Okay, so here we go. So if a corporation wants to donate up to $100,000, they get a 50%. They get 50% tax credit for that donation.
So step one. An organization, a corporation, Alaska-based corporation,
yep,
looking at this can say, okay, we can donate to the school district.
Correct.
And as a result of that, we're going to get a tax credit. So it's if we didn't do it, we'd be paying more in taxes, so we're going to be paying less in taxes.
You got it.
Okay.
What's amazing is, so this is an Alaska-based program. So this has been set up by the state. So the next level is between that $100,001 to an additional $200,000, they get 100% tax credit. So one of the things that we're recommending for folks, if they're interested in this program, this seems like something they want to do, because we do have quite a few organizations that do want to find a way to support the schools or school district, this would be the level to do it. So if you're looking at that $101,000 to the $300,000 level, it's 100% tax credit for those corporations. And then after that $300,000 mark, it's another 50% of tax credit for the corporation to donate.
Okay, so that's very interesting. It's like a donut hole. There is this little
area. We didn't write this. It's an interesting way of writing it. I agree.
Okay. So what that means then, if I'm following correctly, that these would be monies that the corporation would be sending into the state or wherever as a tax amount anyway, but instead of doing that, they can be very directive and give it to a school. Now, here's the real question. So we're saying they get to pick the school district?
They can't. So, yes. So, I mean, there may be a corporation that wants to donate to Anchorage School District, or maybe it's the Far North borough that they want to do, but that, you know, we're saying if there are folks that, you know, if there are corporations that live here, work here, their employees live and work here, they're based out of the Mat-Su, consider giving to the Mat-Su School District.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
So this program, we have a business services department that can help any corporations that are considering this. you know, of course we're going to, we'll work with our accounting department, make sure we get these folks a receipt and make sure they get the right amount of documentation so that can be handed in when it's tax time and they're trying to look for the credit for that program. And
okay,
that
so this is new in the sense this is the first year it's been done?
You know, we started working on this last year and we had it available on our website, but we weren't really sure how we were going to handle it. It was a possibility last year, but we were starting to look at, all right, how does this even work? How do we take this money in? How do we then provide documentation and receipt to the corporations and make sure that there is a mutuality and a partnership with those corporations?
And once you have the money, are there any restrictions on what you do with it?
So, no. What's great about that is, you know, sometimes folks have a really specific way they want to support schools. Like, let's say, for example, they want to support more STEM initiatives. So mm-hmm. that's your science, technology, engineering, and math. Some folks are more interested in co-curricular activities. So after school activities, if it's drama or maybe it's football or maybe it's hockey. So that's another way that we can look at supporting the schools. So there are opportunities inside this partnership to figure out how we can direct the monies that most reflect what the corporation's interested in.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So at this point, have you had direct contact, or has the district had direct contact with potential corporate groups and individuals that would participate?
So that is going to be the big push over the next 2 weeks here. And we are looking forward to we feel ready to talk about it and know how we can do this well. So we are going to send out direct requests to local corporations and even in Anchorage, since so many of our folks that live out here work in Anchorage. And so we just want to make sure that we give folks the opportunity to look at the potential for this way of donating to schools and students and see if they want to take us up on the offer.
Now, just roll back a little bit.
Yeah.
As you were talking, I was thinking, okay, has this legislation that allows this particular kind of giving to happen specified schools?
Inside the way that it's written in the tax rate, I don't know. I'm not sure if you can specifically – do you mean that the money would go specifically to, let's say, Iditarod or – Palmer
yeah.
Junior Middle,
well,
or
you're opening up that question even bigger than I thought initially. I'm thinking, okay, what's the degree of specificity? Can a corporation say, you know, we really like this money to go not only to the district but to whatever? That's one part, but also in terms of schools, school districts. What about colleges? Or you know, in other words, are you in competition with other entities for this?
We see it as, I mean, this to us is a lot of, it's all about relationships for us.
Sure.
In that we would see it as, we know that corporations are going to give to an organization, I mean, to a school district or schools that they feel connected to.
Okay.
And so we recognize we have our vendors, we have the folks that we work with, Anchorage does, Denali Borough does. And so we just see it as, people are going to find the place they feel most connected to. And so we see it like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this was going to be a fascinating experience over the next few weeks as you go run through the year. And, of course, we'll be looking forward to hearing later on how it all worked.
Yes.
And as many of these things happen, even when I think of Pick, Click, and Give, for example.
Exactly.
As a process. That has evolved so much since the first year that it was done. It was
exactly
pretty,
right.
Pretty impressive change in that time.
That's one of the things that we see. That's right. Last year, when we knew this was available and started looking at it, we said, "Okay, we need to put the business services department really put their heads around how we were going to do this." So I feel like this is really the first year we're ready to go out there and make that ask. So
the monies would actually have to be contributed by the end of the year?
Yep. It would be for this. Yes, it would be for this year.
So we're up against it.
Yeah, we are. We're going to come right through the end of the year.
One month. 1 month to roll.
Exactly.
Well, it's exciting.
It is exciting. It's a great way. We do have people all the time looking for ways to sponsor school. So this is just another avenue for those folks who want to.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, you'll roll right into the budget process, which City of Palmer is finishing up now because they do the annual year type of thing, but both the borough and the school district and the state roll into the process that finishes up by late spring, early summer.
Well, that's one of the things that whenever I talk to our budgeting department, they're always working on budgets, and they always have things that they're moving on. If it's not, they're not doing the budget for next year, they're being audited. And actually, they just received the Meritorious Award again. The school district is really consistent in receiving very high accolades for our budget. And they just received the award and will accept it again. There's a big conference down in Anchorage next week for all the business services side of districts.
And I'm glad you said that because sometimes because on agendas and in the news, there's a discussion of budget that implies that all of a sudden you come awake and you do the budget. We're going to do the budget. But you're rightly pointing out that the budget is in process all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
There's no relief from that.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've taken care of a tax credit issue. That's interesting. But I'm also knowing that we're coming toward the end of this year, coming up to Christmas. And I know that recently we had a little bit of different kind of weather into the north. At four schools that closed.
Yep.
Maybe you could just remind people how that happens when it's determined that the road is bad in a particular area.
Yep.
What happens?
Absolutely. School closure is it's a difficult decision to decide to close schools. It's disruptive. And so the way that things work is there is a process. We have a pupil transportation department inside the school district, and we have had those folks here on the radio talking about what it is that they do. So the school district has three contractors that they work with to provide busing for our district. And so we have one that works for our Glacier View students. We have what we call the core area, which is Palmer, Wasilla, and that is what First Student provides busing for. And then we have the Northern Valley, which is provided by Bunker and Bunker. And so our pupil transportation department, when we get warnings from NCSL and from weather advisories that, you know, if there is, it looks like it's going to be freezing rain. And that's really what the MATSU over the years, that has been the thing that can really shut the doors of the schools is the freezing rain and the ice on the roads. They actually get up in the morning and get out on the roads. They know where the problem spots are. They know the roads that are the most difficult for busing and for travel. And so then the recommendation is made to district leadership. They look at all the possibilities, and then the closure is decided and where that's going to be. And then we work hard to get the word out as fast as we can. And what's amazing is in this day and age, how many avenues that we share that information. I remember growing up.
Sure.
You'd see the snowfall and you turn on the TV and wait for the weatherman to tell you which schools are going to be closed. And that is just not the way that we do it now. So now we get, this is actually something for listeners to know, is Facebook is the fastest way to learn. And Twitter. You want to know if MATSU schools are closing, we usually have that up before 5 a.m. Because that's the easiest, fastest way to get information out there. So for folks who use social media and don't like or follow our Facebook or Twitter feeds, I would recommend it because you are in the know the quickest. So I would recommend anybody to tune in to us because that's where the information comes first.
And of course, you put it on your website too.
Correct. And that's the next one that usually has it up. And so Then we're doing media calls at the same time. So we get everything out to the news outlets, so KTVA, KTU, ADN, Frontiersman, even the radio stations. And so then from there, we're also setting up our robocalls through our Blackboard system and sending out our texts, sending out an email, and also putting a push notification out on our app.
Okay.
And then we also change our school closure line. And so those are all the ways that people get school closure notifications. So that's like a list of 10 or 11 different ways that information's available to people.
And of course, if you're a parent and you are in an area that potentially going to be slippery, just checking that and then saying, okay, yep, that's a trigger for me to look further. This might not be a day that there will be school.
And that's something that we always tell parents. I mean, the district is the size of West Virginia. So we're deciding school closure in a district that is the size of a state. And so it's really difficult. We know that there are microclimates all over this valley. And parents always reserve the right to keep their children home if they don't feel like it's safe for them to go out that day. We understand that. They can connect with the school and let them know what's going on, and the school will work with them. So we just always want folks to know that we get it. We know that we don't know the exact condition that's at your driveway on your street.
Right.
We're making the best decision we can with the information we have for the areas that we've been looking at.
So what you've described is a situation that happens in the morning. I've known times in the past where the day starts out nice.
Yep.
And then, as you move through, by around noon, something changes and an unusual weather condition prevails, and you end up with real slippery conditions. In your memory, or what's the process? If, for example, conditions are getting worse, is there a way to have school closed earlier, or how does that handle? That must be even a more difficult question.
Since we double bus in the MATSU, meaning that, as everyone knows, our secondary students start earlier and then our elementary students start later. I mean, if the weather changes in that 3-hour period from when the first kids are being picked up for secondary to when the elementary students are going to be picked up, we're going to do the best we can to communicate, but there's a lot of parts already moving. Mm-hmm. So that's really difficult. We understand that we have thousands of parents that commute every day. So we really need to make a decision the best we can early in the morning, but we'll also need to adapt if conditions change. The other thing is, if school starts and everyone's already in school, secondary and elementary, and things change in the afternoon, most parents know that what we do is at the school level, we can start looking at activities for the afternoon. What's going to happen? Are we going to start canceling things and canceling busing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, this appears to be a year when unusually difficult weather is upon us, with a bouncing between a little too cold, a little warm, icing, rain, snow, etc.
Yeah.
And so it may well be you'll have more practice to do that kind of thing. I'm Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Jillian Morrissey, and she's the public information officer. Let's remind people about that, because you're the public information officer, PIO, mm-hmm. And sometimes there are positions called public relations.
Yep.
But is there a distinction that you could make between those two?
So public information officers exist in a lot of the government entities. And one of the roles that we play is to make sure that the government process that is the school district is available and accessible to community members and to families. So a lot of the work that I do is specific around educational outreach about what is happening inside the district, and making sure that things like school board meetings and other things are accessible to people so that they can participate in the government process.
Right.
So as far as public relations, sometimes I think of more of that there is marketing involved. I don't really do marketing for the district. Sure. I share information about, let's say, choice that we have in the district or events that are coming up. But I'm not necessarily doing marketing to sell any particular thing that we have.
Got it. Okay. Well said. We have a few minutes left. Anything else you'd like to share at this time to add on to what we've already talked about?
Yes, we have something today that's happening that's really exciting. So one of the things that I've been working with with our superintendent is trying to find more ways to bring the process of government and what's happening inside the district to folks. Social mm-hmm. media is the way that people are getting their information these days. The research shows over 65% of our community gets information from social media. So one of the things that we've been doing is rather than hosting events just at our district site where people would have to leave their home, come, we actually bring the superintendent to them through social media. So we do Facebook Live events.
Got it.
And that has been hugely successful. People can watch it live as it's happening, and then it's archived on our social media feed. So tonight at 5:00, Dr. Monica Goyette will be talking about what's happening in your district. So she'll be looking at enrollment, our rising graduation rates, and also just looking at just some of the data that's important for our families and community to know about our school district.
Okay, so that'll be at 5, but it'll also be archived so that if someone
Correct.
Is doing something else at that time, they can go back and look at
it. Exactly. And then I wanted to mention that next week is a school board meeting. Those start at 6:00, but we have a 5 p.m. special recognitions where every semester we bring students from all over the district to get recognized by the school board for their achievements, be it co-curricular, so activities and sports, but also their academic achievement. But we also honor some of our staff. We know at the district that without our staff, we couldn't do what we do. And so we like making sure that we recognize the exemplary work that our heroes in the school do every day.
Great. Okay, 5:00, beginning for that, and then the regular meeting at 6, and it'll be next Wednesday, a week from today.
December 5th, that's right.
December 5th, okay. Jillian Morrissey, it's been a pleasure to have you in here today and learned a lot of stuff, as we always do. Have a good day, and enjoy the snow.
Let's hope for some.
Okay.
Been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.